God, empower Emmanuel Church tonight. Amen. Praise be to God. Brothers and sisters, with this said, I would like to invite us to open up the Word of God for the second message that will be spoken tonight. And I'd like to invite you to open up God's Word to Nehemiah chapter 4. And I'll be reading a couple verses from verse 1 through 9, and then from there to verse 15 to 17. Again, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1 to 9, and then we'll be going to 15 afterwards. And the Word of God says, "But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned?' Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, 'Whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, he will break it down, their stone wall. He will break their stone wall. Hear, O God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to the land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity, and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders.' So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arab, the Ammonite, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to close, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night." Now, verse 15. "And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor, and the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other held a weapon." Amen. You guys may be seated. Not too long ago, I heard a story about an old devil who had grown tired after centuries of destroying lives. And according to the story, he decided it was finally time to retire after many centuries of doing his work. Before he was leaving, he announced that he would auction off all the tools and the weapons that he had used throughout history against humanity. One by one, he laid out various different tools on a long, dark table. There was anger, red, hot. There was lust. There was greed, envy, pride. There was gossip. There was laziness. And each one of these weapons that were laid out on the table had a price attached to it. Some were shiny and barely used. Others looked old and neglected. But in the center of that table sat one strange weapon. It looked worn down, withered, as if it was used greatly, used more than all the other tools combined on that table. And surprisingly, it carried the highest price. A young devil, confused by this, that was there at the auction, walked over and asked the retiring devil, "Why is this weapon more expensive than all the others? I mean, it's heavily used. It's not even new. Why is this tool that is here more expensive?" The old devil slowly picked up that tool and he smiled. He said, "Because this weapon has never failed me." The young devil looked closer at the table, and as he looked and he looked at that weapon that he was holding in his hand, written across that tool was written, "Discouragement." The old devil continued, "Many people learn to resist temptation. Some learn how to fight pride. Others overcome anger or lust. But discouragement hits differently. He said, when I can get someone discouraged long enough, eventually they'll stop praying. They'll stop believing. They'll stop building. They'll stop even trying altogether. And once they stop fighting and trying, I hardly have to do anything else, because discouraged people stop building. If we're honest tonight, many believers know exactly what discouragement feels like. And they know that discouragement is more than just a feeling. It is a weight. It weighs you down and disempowers you from moving forward to that thing that you have set as an objective to accomplish. You know discouragement when you have had unanswered prayers, when you've been praying for something for so long and you've not seen the answers, and you asked, what's the point of praying? Discouragement when you are confronted with a failure for whatever that task may be. Whether you were trying to achieve a goal in college to become or attain a certain degree and you failed, and you know that discouragement, it's not fun. And that discouragement that you feel, it makes you come to this point where you say, what's the point of trying anymore? What's the point of moving forward anymore? I've failed. I've not arrived. I know that we've all experienced in one way, shape, or form discouragement in our lives. And because for this reason we've experienced it tonight, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I want us to answer this question for those of us who go through discouragement. How do we overcome discouragement when it comes? When it comes in like a flood, and when it grips us and wants to pull us down so we can't move forward. In this message that I have prepared tonight, I want us to look at a man named Nehemiah and the people of Israel who dealt with a great sense of discouragement at that particular point in history. And I want us to learn about three truths that are found in this text that can help us to deal with encouragement when we face it. Now, when facing discouragement, the first truth that I want us to understand that can help us to deal with discouragement is this. Discouragement comes to those who want to do the Lord's will. Discouragement comes essentially to those who are doing something right. When you have set within your heart that you want to do something right for the Lord, discouragement always seems to be there, right? If we look in verse 1, we see, but it so happened when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. Now, at this point in time in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah was asked to carry out the task of repairing the walls of Jerusalem. Because at that point in time, the Israelites were in captivity. And now that time was ending, and God wanted to restore their people back to their place of worship. And God asked Nehemiah, I'm calling you now to rebuild the wall. You're going to rebuild the wall so that my people can come back to a place where they can be devoted to me, to worship me, and to know me as their God who has not forsaken them, but is here for them. And we see immediately after Nehemiah was given the task, and he started to build the wall. The moment he started building it, and all the neighboring people saw, they started to mock the Jews and discourage them. Verse 2 says, they called them weak. They said, these feeble Jews, what are they doing here? Weak people. Verse 3 says, whatever they build, even if a fox goes and walks on that wall, it's going to fall down. They don't know what they're doing. This discouragement started exactly when they started to obey and do what God has asked the Israelites to do. In the light of obedience, discouragement is present. And that's something we have to remember. Because when we're doing something right for the Lord, there will be opposition. Have you ever noticed that when you want to do something that's not right, you don't always see discouragement right there next to you to dissuade you from doing wrong? It's always when you want to do right. When God has called you to a task, I want you to serve more in this department. I don't know if I'm capable. I don't know if I can do it. Or God has called you to go and to speak to that person when you're walking into that Walmart, and God has put it on your heart to speak to them, to share the gospel, but I don't know, I'm not prepared. I haven't read my Bible enough. I haven't been spending time in the Word. But you've spent a lot of time in Sunday school, you know something. Why is it that when we want to do right, that there is always discouragement there? Why? Because the devil does not like those who want to honor God with their life, those who want to live for Christ, The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, it says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. Amongst persecution is something called discouragement. When you're doing something right, someone's gonna wanna come along and discourage you. Don't do that. Who do you think you are? You think you're strong? You think you're a child of God? Have you ever heard that before? Maybe not from people, but in your head you have. And that discouragement came and it came strong. But I want you to understand, Scripture is full of people that have had the desire to do God's will and they face discouragement. And there is not one person in the Bible who wanted to do God's will and did not face discouragement. Let me give you an example. David, King David. David was attacked most intensely after being anointed for being the next king of Israel. And we know the story that he was running away from Saul, even though he knew he was supposed to be the next king, but he was being discouraged. God, are you even going to use me? Moses, God called Moses. And as Moses was obeying God to encourage the people that God's going to take them out of the land, he was constantly facing discouragement because the people were saying all sorts of things against him. Did God really speak to you? Did you really meet the great I am? Did you meet him? Elijah, right after one of the greatest spiritual victories on Mount Carmel, it says that he was tempted with depression. God, what's going to happen? I killed all those prophets in your name, oh God, and now they want to kill me. What's going to happen? Discouragement sets in every single time you want to do what's right. Paul the apostle, the one who advanced the gospel in the most sense, in the greatest sense, the Bible says that he was imprisoned, he was beaten, and discouragement faced him all day long. But he didn't stop. He didn't stop. For all of us that are paralyzed at times by discouragement in our lives, when we're faced with that opposition, I want us to realize that we have more reason to rejoice when discouragement comes our way. You know why? Discouragement from the enemy is a confirmation that you're doing something right. Especially if you're a child of God. If you have ordained in your heart to serve the Lord, maybe you don't do anything. You don't preach. Maybe you don't sing in worship. Maybe you don't... You're not a prayer warrior, you're not set yourself to be a prayer warrior. But because you have set yourself to be a child of God, the enemy is up against you to discourage you. This Christian life is so hard. Just give up. But I tell you this, have the mindset that when discouragement comes, I'm doing something right. Praise be to God. When I want to preach the gospel to somebody and somebody comes to distract me, praise be to God, Lord, you're working. Something's going to happen here. When you come to church and you face a discouragement, oh, is anything going to happen in this place? Is the message going to touch my heart tonight? Is the worship going to move my heart tonight? If you have those thoughts, say, yes, I know God's going to work. Because for the very fact that discouragement's coming is a confirmation that God has a plan to work. Because our enemy knows he's lost. Our enemy knows he's lost the war and Christ has won. And all he can do is discourage those who are on the winning team. And brothers and sisters, we're on the winning team. For those of us who are facing discouragement, I want you all to know, be encouraged, you're doing something right. If you face discouragement to come to church here tonight, God is encouraging you that you have overcome the discouragement because you believe that here is a place where God meets you and you receive from him. And we are here tonight, amen? Brothers and sisters, Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 18, he says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it will love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. You see, if you were a part of the world, they wouldn't try to discourage you. They would say, come along with us. But because you choose to follow Christ, discouragement's there. He hates you because you're doing something right. And therefore, that's the first point. When you want to do something right for the Lord, when you want to do his will, discouragement will be there. But rejoice, you're doing the Lord's will. Amen. The second truth I want us to understand that can help us to deal with discouragement is this. Discouragement loses its grip when you encourage your mind towards the goal. Verse 6 says this, so we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Wow. The wall was built up to half its height that quickly after the discouragement? Why did that happen? It says, for the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. What does that mean to have a mind to work? When you're excited and you're longing and you're passionate for something, your mind is at work constantly focusing on that thing. Have you ever been excited about something and you can't stop thinking about that? That's your mind working. That's your mind ready to work. It's wanting to engage that thought that you're excited for, that thing that you are wanting to fulfill. Now, the problem is that we have in our life is people tend to quit when they lose sight of that goal, when they lost encouragement, when they lost excitement for that goal. And I want us to understand that this is the problem. This is a very big problem because the mission is bigger than the discouragement. The mission that God has given you, the mission that God has given me as his child is so much more important. It's so much bigger. This is how marathon runners can endure long races that span for miles and miles. They know the discouragement. They feel it. Their body is saying, stop. Their legs are saying, it hurts. Their mouth is dry. It's saying, give me water. But they know the prize. They see the finish line. And because they have the vision of what is to come, they keep running. Jesus was a perfect example of this. We see that he had the vision for humanity to die. In Hebrews 12, verse 2 says that he endured it all for the joy. He endured it all for the joy that was set before him. He endured it. He despised the shame. He despised the criticism. Why? Because he saw the amazing outcome of redeeming me and you. He saw the outcome of restoring fellowship with me and you. And all of us together, he saw the benefit of us having victory over sin through him. It was that joy that empowered him to go past the discouragement when the enemy came to tempt him in the desert, when the enemy came to tempt him in the garden when he was praying to say, oh, just ask God to take this away from you. It was the joy that was set before him that empowered him to move forward. The question that I have for all of us who are facing discouragement is this. Have you lost the perspective of the goal that God has given you as a child of God? Have you lost the perspective of the goal that God has called you, whether it be in a general sense or specifically for his plan for your life? Maybe God has given you the goal to focus on your life. Maybe he's called you to start doing a Bible study. And you said, I don't know if I can do it. I don't have the ability. Remember the mission. Remember the goal. God's word is powerful. God's word is powerful and it can bring healing to the hurting soul. Why not be excited to prepare to declare the word of God to those who are hurting and in need of a word? Why not? Why do we question so much, man? Should I do a Bible study? No, you should. And you should be excited and encourage your heart in it because there is so much good that can come out of that. Maybe God is calling you to evangelize your faith, and we're all called to do this. We're all called to evangelize our faith and to declare the praises of him who set us free. But are you excited to win souls? I know a friend of mine who I met recently in the Romanian community. His name is Joe, and he's an evangelist. And I remember as I went evangelizing with him in the streets at Orange Circle, I remember we were going and evangelizing, and I saw his life, and I was shocked. This guy was so excited to preach the gospel to people on the streets. And I remember he was going excitedly with a smile on his face, ready to share the gospel. And I remember asking him at some point, bro, how are you so excited to share the gospel? And I remember he looked at me like kind of dumbfounded, like, are you not? And he looked at me and he said, Andrew, I'm so passionate. I'm so happy to see one soul come to Christ. I know where God took me from, and it is the joy for me to see another person come to Christ. My fellow image bearer in Christ, I want to see them redeemed from darkness. That's the mindset that God wants us to have that overcomes discouragement. Discouragement dies and is stunted when you have the eye on the prize, when you have the eye on the excitement of what God has called you to, and it will help you to move forward. May God give us this joy and passion for all the goals and callings that he's called each and every one of us to. Amen. Lastly, and with this, I'll be finishing. The third truth that I want us to understand that could help us to deal with discouragement is this. Discouragement thrives on confusion, but dissipates in clarity. Discouragement thrives on confusion, but dissipates in clarity. Now, this is very important. I want you guys to pay attention here. Verse 7 through 9 tells us, now after they started building the wall halfway up and they were putting the cement between the walls so that there's no more cracks in them and they were accomplishing a lot, the enemy was saying, you know what, we can't get them. They're succeeding in building the wall. How are we going to get them? And the Bible says they got angry and they conspired against them. And you know what the Bible says they tried to do? To create confusion. To create confusion. As the people of Israel were making progress, they wanted to create confusion for them. There is one very important thing to acknowledge when we face discouragement in our lives. When we start making progress for the kingdom, the devil will attack you by bringing confusion with the ultimate purpose of getting you to just stop. That's it. Just wants you to stop. By bringing confusion, he can get you to get stuck in your head and not focused on the goal. and not focused on fighting. Have you ever sat in your bed awake at night, replaying confusing situations over and over again in your mind, trying to figure it all out? Why am I going to this trial? Why am I facing this? Why did that brother say that thing to me? Why did that relationship not work out? Is there something wrong with me? Why did I not pass that test? I studied so hard. I knew it. I was going to. Why didn't I pass? Why did my family member get sick with cancer? Why did this happen? What's going on? Why? And you know what it feels like. You get stuck in here with why. The question that I want us to understand when we start spinning out in this confusing thoughts that come against us is that it's all a lie. I want us to know this. We gain more discouragement by focusing on the confusion, and we lose out on focusing on the goal when we allow ourselves to be taken by that confusing thought. If we look at Job, you see, everything happened to him didn't make any sense at all. Job went through a very hard trial, and I cannot compare to the trials that he's went through. But one of the things that we can learn from Job is that as Job was trying to make sense of it all, he never fully understood what happened. And what the devil did there was bring confusion so that he would stop focusing on Christ, on God. He would stop focusing on the goal, that he would stop focusing on what really mattered. And the enemy loves to do this to each and every single one of us, to bring confusion, to bring thoughts so that we can stop fighting altogether and stop building. So the question is, how do we overcome this confusion when it comes? When it comes where the enemy wants us to get stuck in our head, how do we overcome it? If you will notice, when confusion came to Nehemiah and the Israelites, when it came to them, the way that they defeated the confusion and the discouragement is found in verse 16 through 17. And it says here, so it was from that time on that half my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and the whole armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked construction and with the other hand they held weapons. The Bible tells us that when the discouragement comes laced with confusion, they did not throw away the tools that they had when opposition came. They kept building. And they did not ignore the enemy either. They carried their weapon. You know what's the important thing that we need to know when we face this confusion, discouragement? Do not put your weapon down. Do not push your tool down. Do not do it. The Christian life, as we live it, we build while we battle. That's the key. In everything that we do, we build while we battle. You cannot build and not battle, and you cannot battle and not build. In everything you do as a Christian, you build and you battle at the same time. When discouragement comes, the Bible says we must fight the good fight of faith, the good fight of faith. And as we fight the good fight of faith, it implies that you fight spiritually against oppositions of darkness against you, but you also build, because in the kingdom we build. We don't just sit around. In the kingdom, we don't just sit around and say, well, I'm not called to be a prayer warrior. We pray. We pray with faith, and we intercede, and we fast, and we do the work of Christ so that there would be an impact and not just an impression to people. The enemy wants to discourage Christians who do not know how to fight and do not know how to build. The enemy wants us to do that, to not know how to fight, to not know how to build, so that we don't accomplish anything. But Nehemiah teaches us tonight that in order to live victorious over discouragement, you need to keep building the walls. You need to keep the sword in your hand. You need to keep praying, keep on moving. Because discouragement does not mean that God has abandoned you. Discouragement does not mean that there's something wrong with you. Sometimes it means that you're standing exactly where God wants you to be. When discouragement comes and confusion comes along with it, keep your construction tool in your hand. God has called you to be a light in the world. Know your calling. Know the goal. Don't stop building. Also, you must keep your sword in your hand. Remember that the enemy is attacking you, and it is a sign that you're walking in the right direction. So don't be discouraged, but don't put that sword down. Don't put that spear down. Continue to fight. And if you need help, call a brother and say, pray with me. The Bible says that as they were the workers building, and there were the people who were with their spears in their hand, the Bible says that the leaders were behind them. The leaders were behind them, and they were praying. The leaders were behind them, and they were watching. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to be those who do not allow ourselves to be discouraged, but keep working and keep fighting. With this said, brothers and sisters, I would like us to stand. And I wasn't planning for any of this, but the Lord really moved my heart to this. And the worship team can come up if they have anything ready. The Lord has really moved my heart to understand that that discouragement, as nasty and as bad as it is something that is a reality that we face. And we preached all these different truths of what we can do to be able to overcome discouragement. But some of us, although we're doing all these things, we're staying in the Word. Although a lot of us are encouraging ourselves with the goal that God has in mind for us, we're still facing discouragement. It's still there. We're struggling. The Lord has put it on my heart that tonight that we pray for one another as a congregation together. There are people, young people in this room that say, God, I don't believe that there is a point to my life. They're discouraged. There are old people in this life that have suffered loss and they don't know what else to do with their life. And they say, God, my life has ended. What is there to do? There are people here who don't understand what to do anymore. There are people who said, I failed so much in the light of temptation and there's nothing going for me. God, how could you still use me? Brothers and sisters, this is discouragement that people face daily. And tonight, I want us to be like those who are behind those who are fighting. I want us to be like the leaders of Israel as they're Israelites. And I want us to pray for one another. I want us to support one another in prayer. And if you know somebody that is going through a time of discouragement, I want you to pray for them specifically in your heart, in your time of prayer. Pray for them. Pray that God would give them empowerment. Pray that God would strengthen them to know their identity in Christ, that as a child of God, they will face discouragement. But even though they face it, it is a confirmation that they are truly God's chosen child. Maybe you're facing discouragement tonight and you're having a hard time dealing with it. And maybe nobody knows, not even your husband or your wife, not even you're a child, maybe your mom or your dad don't know what you're facing. I want us to come before the Lord and I want us to be honest. God, I'm struggling with discouragement. God, I've strayed. Maybe I've lost sight of your word. And God, it's hard for me to encourage myself with your word. I've lost sight of the goal. I've lost sight of why I'm a Christian. God, please help me to understand my purpose. Give me strength, Lord God, that I would live this life with passion, that I would live with you with a love and a heart for you. O creștem iubire, Doamne. Deschidem ochii, Doamne, ca să nu mai fiu descurajat, Doamne, dar să trăiesc adevărat pentru tine. Că tu m-ai creat. You have a purpose for my life. You want to work with me, God. You've called me to something great. But Lord, help me to overcome the discouragement where the enemies had a heyday with, Lord God, to discourage me. God, strengthen me. I don't want to be, Lord God, one who walks into this place with my head laid down when I come into the place of worship. God, I want to come here encouraged that, God, we're winning souls for Christ. And I want to come in this place and be encouraged because I know I'm your child. I want to come in this place, Lord God, knowing, oh, Father God, that there's progress being made in the kingdom. If you are struggling with discouragement here tonight, brother or sister, be honest with God. If you have need of special prayer, brothers and sisters, we're all here to pray for you. Nobody here is better than you. We all face discouragement. We're all at the same level in this. All the men, great men of renown that were called and were used in a great way for Christ, they face discouragement. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Come to Jesus, your Father, who will encourage you, who will strengthen you and will give you the reason to live. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. May God encourage you, young man. May God encourage you, young woman. May God encourage you, husband or wife, whatever you're going through. May God be your encouragement from here on and forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's pray, brothers and sisters. Let's come before him. Let's pray for one another and for us as well. Let's pray. God, be our strength. Let's pray. Amen.